Hey, what up, Long Beach? We're back with another weekly episode of this podcast called What Up, Long Beach? And all of a sudden, we're sports writers again. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler, and across the Zoomiverse, he's Mike Garabasio, and he's Tyler Hendrickson.
We're very excited to be here, guys. We actually do have some sports stuff to talk around. I'm pretty pumped for it, to be completely honest with you. Do stay tuned. We're going to have Mark Ziegenhagen, head coach of the Wilson football team, talking about the return to practice for the local high school football programs, as well as Andy Fee from Long Beach State talking about the Angels moving into Blair Field, as well as what a return to fall sports could look like at the local university. But before we do that, this podcast brought to you as part of our partnership with the Long Beach Post. We drop it every week. We're excited to have some sports to talk about. Please support everything going on at lbpost.com as well as the 562.org.
Tyler, I feel like we need to get a new picture for these posts that we put on social media, on the Facebook, because it is just Mike and I. We need to get a new picture. We need COVID to be over. We all need to be in the same place at the same time.
I was about to say, good luck getting a picture of the three of us right now.
So we can all hug. I'm thinking me and Mike in the front, and then Tyler just hand over shoulders on top of us, you know?
I mean, if you need to Photoshop me in, it's okay. yeah, I don't think that'll be happening for a while. The last time we did the pictures, all three of us together, I don't think I even really had facial hair. So a lot has changed. And then now we got to wear a mask anyway. So
you've made some progress on the beard front for sure. Beards, unfortunately, do cut down on the effectiveness of masks by a little bit, which is too bad because I'm never shaving my beard. Tyler came over to pick up some checks, JJ, from some donations we'd gotten for the website. And
that's the 562.org. Send your checks to my
click subscribe.
Right. Please do. And, keep me busy.
And Tyler coming over, it was like, I don't know, it was like a war had started. Like, my wife is just like, someone's here. Oh, it's Tyler. Tyler's here. Mike, Tyler's here. And it's just like, oh. It's a person. It's a real life person. We got to be careful. Like,
man, right, the towers.
Because the Postmates people don't bother you. They will just drop the food and leave. You know what I mean? Which is what makes that, you know, surface so delightful. You don't really have to engage if you want to. But, you know, we miss it now. And I personally never thought I'd be so excited to hear that high school football players were running laps, but I'm pumped about it.
Yeah, we are back feeling like sports writers again this week. As Mike mentioned, football practice, Angels coming. We also have the All City Awards that we've been doing for the last few years. And we do it because it's important, right? You need to take time to appreciate what happened before you can look forward to what's going to happen. And the All City Awards that we've been giving out, they're commemorative, right? We give one for each high school sport, student athlete. Then we give one male and one female the All-City Athlete of the Year awards. And then we give special awards like the finish of the year, the game of the year, the spirit of Long Beach, comeback of the year, coaches of the year, you know, all that stuff. So we got to kind of relive the sports stuff that we experienced over the last 12 months, that athletic year, that is the 19-20 athletic year we will never forget. We were still, I think, able to put it into a tight package where if you were to look back on this 19-20 athletic year, let's say in 10, 20 years in the future, it's going to make sense to you. And even the fall and the winter kids who kind of got, you know, lost by the wayside when everybody's talking about what happened in the spring, we were still able to honor them as well. And I think that was really important.
So definitely check out the 562.org. I would say the podcast goes up Wednesday, a little bit later in the day. First thing Thursday, you will see on the website, and it'll go out on our social media. And then you probably won't be able to avoid it on social media. You will see our All-City Athletes of the Year in each sport. And then we're just going to roll it out nonstop for the couple days and into next week after that. So keep an eye out. We're excited for that. That's all. It's one of my favorite things to put together because it kind of helps you close one book and open the book on the next year.
Yeah, and it was definitely a little challenging, especially for those spring sports having barely gotten started. But we felt like, as JJ said, we still wanted to honor the athletes and kind of put this year into perspective. And we felt like even the midst of a pandemic was not the right time to repeal the ACAs, as it were.
Is there one person, story, special award, or something that, you know, because you would, all of us have been working on this for the last few weeks. Is there something that you guys wrote that really stuck out for you? Like, for me, it was finish of the year, the Long Beach Poly Boys soccer season, holding on for the title by getting a draw against Millikan 2-2 after Milliken scored two goals in the last 3 minutes of the regular season finale, like absolutely crazy. Not even talking about the fact that Pauly, Milliken, Cabrillo, Jordan, and Wilson all spent time in first or second place in the league. Like fifth place Wilson beat future champion Long Beach Pauly twice in the season. That's how crazy that year was. And the finish was just epic. And again, it was like I had forgotten about it, right? Because so much stuff has happened since the end of February. But to be able to go back and relive those moments was really cool. Do you guys have one that sticks out for you?
Yeah, I think my favorite was probably doing the game of the year, which we did the Pauly football Orange Lutheran overtime first round playoff game that Pauly won on a walk-off. Overtime for high school is just like college. You take turns. And so Pauly scored a touchdown, and I mean, the touchdown ended the game. And that was fun, to be honest with you, just because it was like, it was a great game. I obviously haven't thought about football in an enjoyable way for 3.5 months. So it was fun just rewatching the video, reliving the game, and getting to have a positive association with sports as opposed to what we've been going through the last 3 months of the kind of will they or won't they.
And you just got to say, Pauly Olu football in the playoffs, pretty much appointment viewing at this point in finding interesting ways to win. You know, you think back to Pauly winning 2-0 against Olu, the lowest scoring game possible with a winner, and then the unique set of circumstances to allow for a walk-off touchdown in football is unique, to say the least. For me, it was reliving the CIF championship that Long Beach won this year, was the Wilson girls basketball team as our team of the year. You know, you put that into context of the season that Wilson had, and, you know, making history, first championship for their girls basketball program in 20 years, and how that, you know, brings out the pride in the city and unites different generations. And, you know, the fact that we didn't get those moments for more teams is obviously disappointing, but Wilson was able to get that in and win that championship before everything shut down. And it's nice that they didn't have that moment taken away from them by something completely out of their control. So just important to celebrate those moments and make sure they get their due shine.
Totally.
Last week, we talked to you about how the AVP, the Association of Volleyball Professionals, are bringing a 3-week beach volleyball tournament to Long Beach at the end of this month and the beginning of August. No fans allowed. And that is just one of two stories that we're talking about this week where sports are coming back to Long Beach, but nobody's allowed to watch them. The Los Angeles Angels are bringing their abbreviated spring training to Long Beach, as Mike mentioned earlier, and as we'll talk to Long Beach State Athletics Director Andy Fee about later on the show. They're coming to Bull Diamond at Blair Field, half the squad in Anaheim, half the squad in Long Beach. And it's something we all knew was going to happen, right? Like, sports will come back. When and how is a question. But we never thought that it would happen right in our backyard. I mean, baseball and beach volleyball are both kind of starting at the same time right here. We're not going to be able to see it, but we're going to know what's going on.
Yeah, and I would just say this, definitely stick around and listen to that interview with Andy Fee, because I think you'll enjoy the reason why Blair Field and Long Beach get to play host to the Angels, which he revealed. I was surprised at his willingness to be candid about that. So
the one thing we will be able to see this week, next week, and hopefully for a long time into the future is high school student athletes back on the field. That's right. Long Beach Unified School District allowing up to 50 student athletes and coaches to be back on campus on the same field at the same time this week. So Long Beach Pauly football is taking care of their paperwork today, Wednesday, and then they're going to be back on the field on Thursday. Wilson, Lakewood, and some others are waiting until after the holiday weekend and getting back on the field on Monday. Obviously, it's not going to be like anything we've ever seen before. You're not allowed to have footballs. You're not allowed to have pads. You're not allowed to touch each other. So you know these kids are going to be out of shape. So really, these practices are just going to be a lot of running, right? A lot of running, a lot of conditioning, and a lot of trying to slowly get back to normal. That's a nice segue, and this is a perfect time to have one of our favorite local coaches join us. It's Wilson Football's Mark Ziegenhagen. Ziggy, how you been, man? Can't believe we're actually going to see each other on the field in just a few days.
I know. It's hard to believe. Unless they drop the whammy on us again, we have a possibility of Monday.
That's fair. We are recording this on Wednesday. It is 1:22 in the afternoon. We timestamp these interviews because God knows what's going to happen. How you been doing? Are you good with the family? You guys been taking care of this time together?
Yeah. I mean, I I've become a carpenter, a landscaper, a homeschooler.
I've been keeping up with you on Instagram. You've been
mechanic.
Busy for sure.
I've learned about 8 trades with this time off. So, but no, everybody's good and healthy. And but thank you for asking. Hope all is well with you guys.
Yes, I think one of your boys and my son were both at the park yesterday for the get the kids out of the house, run around informal program that's going on.
Yeah.
Because it's our house for sure.
I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? I don't know what
you're talking about. Yeah, we got to get these kids back outside, but I'm sure that this isn't the first time you have been communicating with them. Have you been in constant contact with your team during this shutdown?
You know, for the most part, yes, and really no. I mean, during school, yes, we're making sure that they were getting all their stuff done for school. And number two, you know, celebrating the seniors. That was kind of our biggest thing was – to kind of see them off. But I've been really just kind of sending them messages on Huddle and just saying, hey, hope you're all right. You know, we can send them some workouts and stuff like that. But for the most part, a lot of, let's face it, they're at home, they're watching siblings, they're watching brothers and sisters, they're working. A lot of them took this time to get a job. And I get that, you know. And so football is great, and football is life. But unfortunately, a lot of these kids have other things they have to do to help their family.
What kind of shape are these kids going to be in when they get back? Are you worried about that? We're going to have a few pukers on the first day of conditioning or what?
Well, again, I mean, the limitations and what they're giving us to do. Yeah, we're going to be cross-country runners when we start here initially. At the same time, with no weight room, no locker room, no chalk talk, no the things that we're used to doing, you know, by this time of the year. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be definitely difficult, but we'll see obviously who's going to be in shape. That's for sure. But again, can I blame them? No, I can't blame them. You know, there's a lot of things going on at home and families lost jobs and kids were finding jobs to help and whatever, but it'll be definitely interesting the first week. That's for sure.
I think one thing that was a bit of a surprise to me, the school district released its data last week about what everyone thought about the distance learning program in the spring and what people wanted to see for the fall. And I was really surprised because in my family, which I'm sure is the case in your family as well, we're very ready to get my son back to elementary school. We're like, absolutely, we'll sign whatever, we'll do all the all the precautions, everything else, but we want him to be at school with his friends and his teacher, and then we need to go work, right? But
right.
I think the stat was like 25 or 26% of parents said, I'm not sending my kid back to school until there's a vaccine. Have you heard from kids or parents who are talking about, hey, I'm glad you guys are working out, but I'm not ready, you know, to have my kids back at practice yet?
Well, yeah, so I did send out an initial message or email about, hey, we got the clearance to start on Monday. And I've already gotten back 4 or 5 emails from kids saying, Coach, I really want to be out there, but my parents just don't feel like it's safe enough for to come out yet. I can't blame them. I totally understand. I mean, like I said, I got to be respectful of that decision. And obviously, as coaches, we can't hold it against them for not coming out because, you know, everybody looks at this thing a different way. Everybody looks at it. You know, how it's reacting and how it's going on in across the nation. And, you know, it's hard to listen to the news or what to believe anymore, what's actually true and what's not true, you know. I'm just kind of really concerned about the July 20th announcement. You know, we're dangling a carrot in front of the kids like, hey, come on back to the school, come out and start practicing. We're going. And then all of a sudden, come July 20th, they may say, sorry, we're not starting till January.
We were talking a little bit about the rules of the return before you came on. So with that in mind, you know, with that 20th coming up and all that stuff, what are the rules that concern you? What are we going to be the ones that are going to be tough to live by? You know, because it starts with actually getting students to sign a waiver. And as any football coach or student athlete or sports writer or parent knows, getting the physicals signed and turned in before the season is one of the hardest things to do other than, you know, winning a championship.
Yeah, no, and it's been obviously a challenge in the past trying to get forms signed. But again, it's going to be pretty cut and dry that, hey, we let them in one gate only. they all got to come with masks. You know, they can get on the football field. Masks are going to be optional on the football field for the players, but the coaches have all got to wear them. But then they got to exit. And that's why we got to kind of – we can't have more than 50 kids out on the football field or 50 people. You know, I have right now on my roster 80-plus kids. So now we got to figure out, okay, now we got to divide them up. And now we got to stretch them, you know, at least 2 yards apart because that's 6 feet. If I do my math correctly, right? Two times. Yep.
3 plus 3 is 6. You got it. Yep.
But, you know, just doing drills, keeping them their interest. Because let's face it, we're not going to go more than an hour with each group because we can't touch a football. We can't touch any dummy sleds. We can't any dummy bags, tackling sleds, nothing. Everything that we're doing right now, really, this time of year where we're tackling, we're doing all that. And, you know, honestly, I have a concern about it. Unless we're going to go 100% from the get-go, unless we're going to be able to touch a football, learn to tackle again, because I don't know how they're going to expect us to kind of get together a month out from the program and try to put 3 months of work into 1 month of activity.
So it's going to be a lot of up-downs is what you're telling me.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of stadiums, a lot of body work, a lot of really that dynamic type stuff that you see all the time. And just kind of being creative with it and being creative by position where we do drills by position. Receivers can still run routes. Quarterbacks are going to have to fake, you know, timing.
So you are going to do some – I mean, that was my next question was obviously you can't run the kids for 2 hours, right?
No.
Especially not when they've been taking a break. So what are you going to do in terms of simulated game stuff or practicing with X's and O's? Invisible football like it was a baseball game, or how do you do that?
Fortunately, we have the same offense and we have the same defense we've had for the last 5 years. So we're not reinventing the wheel as far as what we're going to do scheme-wise. A lot of the kids already know our offense, already know our defense. So we're going to save some time, obviously, not reintroducing a game or our offense and defense. So we're really just going to try to get technique, breaking out of a route, footwork, positioning on the field for defense. You know, fortunately on defense, we're already all kind of 6 feet apart anyways on defense. So we're not really going to – that's not going to really be a concern. But it's really quarterbacks, you know, with us, the mesh point, handing the ball off to the running back. You know, we can't get that close now. You know, the ball coming out of a break. You know, all those things that you work on timing-wise is going to be a little, you know, challenging.
No doubt. You are in your office right now. I'm sure it feels weird being back in the office after the long layoff. And I can see behind you the 2020 schedule for the Wilson Bruins, the non-league stuff written in blue and the league games written in green. That first non-league game is on the 21st of August. Now, if we're shaking your head no right now. Fair enough. If we're going to put the odds on that, I think the odds would be pretty low that you're playing Warren at home on the 21st of August. But if you go down that list a little bit, you've got the 18th of September against Compton, the first Moore League game. Mike and I have talked about this a lot last few weeks on this podcast, and our guess is that if football season comes back in any way, shape, or form in the fall, it's going to come back with the league schedule starting in September. What do you think about that?
That's probably highly the case. It's going to happen. I can see a lot of leagues doing league only, you know, or somehow form an 8-game season at least where we may have to play a league opponent twice, where it be a league game only, and then the second time you play them, it's going to be a non-league game. You know, again, they said we have to have 4 weeks from practice till we can start a game.
Right. Yeah.
So if they say September 1st and we can't play our first game till October 1st, so they're going to move, you know, obviously they're going to have to move everything back. You know, in an ideal world, I was hoping, okay, we can start September 1st. If they give us a go off, you know, we could possibly still play Huntington Beach September 4th and St. Anthony
right.
the 11th, and then we can kick in the league. But again, now I hear all this stuff that we're going to start in January, and I just don't know how that's going to happen, you know?
It's worth noting right now, just to give an update, that, you know, as we've discussed, that July 20th date is when the CIF state organization, which is who sets the calendars for the sports, that's when they're expected to have an announcement by. There's been a lot of reporting on rumors and speculation. Nothing has really sort of concretely come together. And they've said basically just give us that extra 2 weeks to figure it out.
July 20th is going to be a huge date, as we're going to talk with Long Beach State Director of Athletics Andy Fee in just a minute. The Big West is also waiting till July 20th to make their decision. So everybody's kind of waiting on the 20th of this month to see what the fall schedule is going to look like. Or, let's be honest, they could just kick the can down the road for a couple more weeks on the 20th as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel for the kids. I feel, you know, they want to get back out here. I know they do, but at the same time, I don't want to hurt morality either. You know, I mean, getting them all pumped up for a couple of weeks and then all of a sudden we got to shut back down again. So I just hope that they make a smart decision and a strategic decision for everybody, that it's going to be obviously safe for everybody. But same time, you know, I almost feel sometimes they might be safer here at school anyways than out in the community. You know, so I think that's the case. We keep mentioning Clemson football. You know, they had 37 guys come in from their communities, not knowing that they didn't have it, and all of a sudden they have it. So now they can be quarantined, and they're probably in a safer environment, being around school and being around the same people every day. But with us, I can't put a 24/7 tracker on the kids and see where they're going every day. But you know, I'm hoping that they're doing the right thing and being smart in the community as well.
Well said, candid as always. That's why you're one of our favorites, Zig. Thanks so much for taking the time, man. Like I said, I can't wait to come out there and see the Bruins in a couple of days. So stay safe, be safe, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
One thing that has been a constant for me and my family throughout the shutdown has been Naples Rib Company runs, doing the pickup orders there. We're still not, my family's not eating indoors yet. I know that they're open for service. So if you are looking to get to a restaurant, they've got the plexiglass up. They're following all the rules to keep everyone safe, obviously. But we've got on Thursday this week, the day after we record, we're doing our weekly Naples Rib Company trip. I'll be sure to tweet about that and tag everybody in it. But man, when I know it's a Naples Rib Company week, I start looking forward to it right around Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm starting to get really hungry. And then tomorrow it's going to be all I'm thinking about for sure.
We're usually talking to this guy every other week on the LB Fee Show, but it's the summer. LB Fee Show takes a little hiatus. So we're bringing Andy Fee, the director of athletics from Long Beach State, on to What Up Long Beach. Andy, how are you? How you been? It feels like we haven't talked to you in forever.
I know. What up, Long Beach? Glad to be on the show. And I know we've got a lot to talk about, so I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
You got some action. It is starting to feel a little bit as sports writers like we have something to do. So that's nice. I mean, I think we're officially like the 1920 season is officially behind us. Now we're all looking at 2020, 2021 to see, okay, what kind of what's left in the Lego box here and what can we cobble together with these stray pieces?
Exactly. Very true.
Are you finding yourself outside being 6 feet away, but still being around more people recently? How have you been feeling about that?
Yeah. You know, so I'm a runner and I've been able to actually get the mileage up and get out pretty much every day, which has been great. And certainly practicing social distancing, you know, when I'm running down the street or the sidewalk, jumping 6 feet to the side when passing. And it's funny, you know, I am a runner and have been for a long time. And it's funny to me how many more people I see out exercising, which is a great thing. I know we're all trying to social distance, but it's been pretty amazing. I was actually on a Zoom call this morning with Nike, and our contact there was talking about, I asked them, you know, how's it going? And they said, well, you know, as you can imagine, spring sports like baseball cleats, that kind of stuff, just we're sitting on so much merchandise. He said, but running shoes are like through the roof right now. And I laughed and I said, well, I see a lot of people when I'm running around town wearing those Nikes. So they said, well, that's a good thing. So it's been an odd summer, but it's nice to kind of be back headed towards more sports related conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got a lot to talk with you about. We're going to talk about the Angels at Bull Diamond at Blair Field. We're going to talk about the fall sports season, which could potentially be just around the corner. But before we do that, I think all three of us are on exactly the same page, and I haven't had a public forum to rant about this in. So I just wanted to say all three of us are firmly in the "what the hell is wrong with you guys? Just wear the freaking mask" camp, you know? Just like,
amen.
If you're a sports fan, if you're a fan of schools, if you're a fan of going to bars, if you're a fan of anything, like, it's, you know, the gap between nothing is open and everything's open, but I have to wear a mask. It's like, come on, people, you know?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I had a really interesting conversation with my mom, and my grandparents would fall under what's called the greatest generation. My grandfather fought in World War II, and my mom was a little girl in World War II. And she talks about, and my grandmother would talk about, the rationing that was required. There really was not a choice. And I mean, the amount of sugar you could get, the amount of meat you could get, gasoline. My grandmother would talk about, you know, you couldn't get new tires. And the amount of sacrifice.
Right. And just locally in Long Beach, where obviously this was sort of the belly of the war munitions production, you know, I mean, they didn't have prom for 4 years in high school. We obviously have all been upset about that happening for 1 year this year. They weren't having graduations. You know, they weren't playing, they weren't doing the shot put because there wasn't enough rubber to, you know, make the put, right? I mean, it was every level. And I'm the same as you. My grandpa fought as well. And yes, I know exactly what you're going to say. So,
and I sit here and I kind of go, you know, specific to the mask. I get it. It's uncomfortable. I don't like wearing the mask, but, you know, the science bears out that it is the right thing to do in terms of not transmitting and mitigating as much transmission as possible. And, you know, if more people wear the mask, the quicker we do return to some sort of normal, even if, you know, we still cannot eradicate the virus. At least we can have some sense of normalcy. So I'm right there with you, Mike and JJ. I really hope people listening and out there do it because it's the right thing to do, which I believe it is.
As if the world and your life wasn't stressful and busy enough, you had a huge deal this week. Actually, the city of Long Beach, it's a huge deal for everybody. As the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, do they still do that? They are in Long Beach this week and for the next few weeks as they split squad their spring training. Half of them are going to be at Angel Stadium and the other half are going to be at Bull Diamond at Blair Field. Andy, when did the Angels contact you? And was it like a direct contact to the athletic department to find out what they needed to do to be able to use Bull Diamond at Blair Field?
Yeah. So I did not realize that Joe Maddon lived in Long Beach. I think he lives in Belmont Shore or the Heights somewhere.
I'm not going to give the intersection out. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's,
I won't give the intersection out, but it's he's not burning a lot of gas on the way to Blair Field. I'll say that.
Yeah. He said it was like 6 minutes door to door. So I knew he was local. I didn't realize he lived in Long Beach. So I think secretly there's a little advantage for him to be at Bull Diamond Blair Field. But the GM, Billy Epler, reached out to us, and it's kind of unique. I don't know. I've gotten to know Billy over the last couple weeks, but Coach Valenzuela and I know his mom. His mom worked at the University of San Diego in kind of external outreach and fundraising for the university, and huge baseball fan, and was a huge fan of the baseball program there. Her son, Billy, actually played at UConn, and so baseball family, and so it was kind of nice reconnecting in that way. But the Billy reached out to us and said, hey, you know, we're trying to figure out a training venue for the program and the team, and you know, coach Maddon and we're interested, can we talk? And I said you know, let's meet out at Bull Diamond and check out Blair Field. We'll walk it around, see what you guys are looking for. And if it looks like something we can do, then we'll pursue it. You know, it's funny. I pull into the parking lot and the first thing, what do I see is this custom, just sweet cherry 1970s Econoline van, and on the side it's painted Cal State Fullerton, and I'm like, what the heck is this? I park next to it and I'm like, what is this?
Park next to it and aggressively open the door. Ding, ding. Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah. I you know, there's a couple guys working outside. I'm like, is this your ride? And they're like, no. And I'm just like, just not happy. I'm like, what is the deal here?
Well, I'm glad JD.
And I get inside.
That might have got ugly.
Inside, and I make a joke. I see Billy, and I laughingly go, hey, who's Cal State Fullerton ride is that out there? And they're like, oh, it's that guy's over there. And they point to Joe Madden. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll work around that one. So that was kind of the start of it, laughingly, was going, what the heck is this Fullerton deal? But, you know, they're very interested at that point. They felt the facility was what they would need to kind of get up and running. We obviously, you know, to us, you know, we want to be good partners in our community. We felt that having the Angels here was good for our community, for the city to kind of be a focal point for some sports activity. Although it's not games, it's going to be, I think, up to almost 84 dates, days that they would use the facility. They basically will use it, you know, I think in theory, Friday might be the first day of some sort of activity out there, and then through the end of the season, hopefully there's no stoppages, but that would be the end of September-ish. And then, you know, if they make the playoffs, it might go into October. So, you know, we felt it was something that's good for our community to see activity back. They've been great to work with. I think we're going to execute the contract today. Again, we just had dots some I's, cross some T's, but all the legal, you know, experts on both ends have blessed it. Now it's just literally signing it. So I'm really excited.
Okay, I got a two-parter here. The first is, we can all agree that the Angels wouldn't want to or even be able to use the Bold Diamond at Blair Field facilities if you guys hadn't added to them in 2017 with the Troy Tulowitzki batting cage and the Jared Weaver bullpen. Without those two additions, they wouldn't even be interested in using it, correct?
For sure. You know, the Troy Tulowitzki hitting facility is unbelievable. Even, you know, Coach Madden, there are a couple other guys with him. I mean, they were walking around that thing going, this thing's unbelievable. The Jared Weaver bullpen is unbelievable in terms of the setup and, you know, the care that our grounds crew puts towards it and the field itself. But yeah, the enhancements to the facility are a big reason of why they're interested. Certainly the field's great and the location's great, but you know, a team like that, a professional organization, they're gonna want their players to have the very best. And we're lucky to have the investment of people like Marilyn Bowl, Troy Tulowitzki, Jared Weaver, and others that have really transformed the facility.
So with that being said, is something like this going to help the future refurbishment of the facility? I know you guys have been fundraising to add the new lights and everything else you guys want to do at Bold Diamond at Blair Field. Is this something that can help that? And are you getting paid for this?
Yeah, so that's one of the big pieces of the puzzle is certainly we'd like to have the Angels there, and we're going to have them here. But we also need to make it work for the university and for the community. So we will be generating significant revenue off of the Angels being here, and we're going to reinvest that back into the facility. We've already talked to them about a few projects, from smaller scale projects around the facility to some larger scale projects. And they've been great. John Carpino and Billy Epler, John is the president of the Angels, have both been out numerous times to the facility. You know, they've expressed their gratitude for us opening up, and certainly we're grateful for them and, you know, investing in us. So I think in the short term, there's some great positives, but I think in the long term, this is a relationship for the community and for the university and the city that could pay off down the road as well. So I think there's a lot of ideas we've talked about. I mean, I'm, you know, maybe Billy's probably going to be listening to this, maybe going, what the heck is Andy talking about? But who knows, maybe we can even have, in the NCAA, you're allowed to scrimmage professional teams, actually. When I was at ASU years ago, they would play the Diamondbacks in a couple games around spring training. But in the fall, you can also have a certain number of games, allowable dates of competition. So who knows, you know, not that we're necessarily playing against Mike Trout, but it could be, you know, some sort of group of minor leaguers. Hey, we come out to Blair, we do a fundraiser around, you know, maybe it's a 3-game stand against the Angels, and we raise some money and get an opportunity to have that kind of competition, a very unique competition here in Long Beach. So I'm really excited, not just from a financial standpoint, but from a relationship standpoint.
Yeah, that's all awesome. I do feel like I should give a PSA before we switch topics that Blair will not be open to spectators to go see the Angels. So I popped by, Andy, you may be aware that there are some ways to see into the facility without being admitted. So I did pop by the outfield today, and there was a couple people. There were a couple little kids waiting by the players' entrance. I think they were doing intake and kind of getting the field prepped a little bit today. But yeah, I'm sure on Friday, as you said, I'm sure that there will need to be someone enforcing social distancing beyond a certain outfield wall.
yeah, that left field wall. You know, I suspect there'll be quite a few people trying to see what's going on, and you know, obviously entrance into the facility will be very controlled. But you know, in a way, I think the Angels, you know, as long as they're not disruptive, I think that's, again, it's good for them. I mean, we as fans have been wanting to see athletes, and the athletes, you know, they want to perform for fans. So, you know, I suspect there'll be a cool vibe out there. And again, it's refreshing to see some activity. You know, we've been shut down as a university athletically since March. And, you know, just the simple fact to hear a bat and a ball is pretty cool.
I imagine you guys are also working closely with the Angels on making the changes to Bull Diamond at Blair Field that need to be made in order for it to be safe for everybody. Are you guys kind of using this as a dry run to learn some lessons from that reopening as you guys prepare to reopen your and having student athletes back on your campus?
Yeah, that's a great question, JJ. And the answer is yes. I was kind of joking with John Carpino about, well, hey, I'm going to be, you know, hitting you and Billy up. You know, how is it working? You know, they have, you know, a 67-page, you know, medical manual for what they're doing around COVID and all this stuff. So, you know, ours isn't quite 67, but it's pretty deep. And best laid plans, and then there's reality, right? So what actually works and what doesn't work. So in a way, you know, I said it's good for us to be able to see how it goes for you. You know, I'm not into reinventing the wheel, and if they have something in place that works really well, that we could mirror or mimic, we'll work to do that. And in some ways, there's a lot of, having talked to them, a lot of similarities. So it'll be interesting to see what doesn't work. So again, from just the really mundane things, as you said, about checking players in, to, you know, what happens if somebody tests positive, to disinfecting and sanitizing, all those things, in a way, as I've said earlier, no one's had a playbook to work off of. Well, I kind of feel like we're going to get a little snippet here of a playbook to see what works and what doesn't work. So in a way, this actually helps us immensely.
So the Big West is going to be deciding what it wants to do with the fall schedule at the end of this month, July 20th. What are you guys at Long Beach State doing to prepare in the meantime? I mean, last time we spoke, we were talking about the phases of reintroduction to athletics on campus. Are you guys doing more to prepare now that you know that there's a date the Big West will decide, or are you kind of just in a holding pattern?
A little bit of both. So, you know, plan A, as I'll call it, is just kind of business as usual for the most part. You know, assuming the fall sports reboot and away we go in August. We do have the phased in approach that we're in. Originally, we were planning on a July 6th return for those voluntary workouts, but we've actually halted that due to the recent trends here locally and obviously across the country with COVID. Just to be more safe than sorry, so to speak. So I think what we focused on a little bit more, though, is, you know, we kind of know what the best case is. What are some ideas on if things continue to trend a different direction? So we've started to have discussions around what other options are there? You know, do we have fall sports where we're only playing a conference schedule? Do we have a fall season where it's partially non-conference and conference, but the non-conference are all bus trips so that we're not having to navigate airports and travel through the airports and TSA, et cetera. So I think, you know, over the next couple of weeks, it's the athletic directors and the universities kind of all coming together. I had a weekly Zoom call yesterday for the athletic directors, and we talked a little bit more about that. Next week, we're going to talk a little more in depth about some ideas and just brainstorming. And you know, it'd be great to think we don't have to worry about plan B or C and that A will happen automatically, but hope for the best. You know, we do hope for the best, but we're going to plan for the worst, and we don't want that to happen. But, you know, I always think too, you know, I would rather be part of a solution than necessarily just be told how it's going to be. And certainly we'll follow whatever directive the CEOs, presidents and chancellors in the Big West deem. But, you know, President Conley has been throughout this process wanting to get input from my staff and I. I think most of the chancellors and presidents understand they may not be the subject matter expert, and that's up to us as leaders within our industry to help provide information and educate our leaders. Ultimately, they'll make the decision, but, you know, I want President Conley to be able to, when she sits down in a Zoom call with the other colleagues of hers, that she can speak to some certainty about where our position is and why we feel a certain way. So, you know, I think there's been a lot of good conversations taking place, but ultimately we'll implement and work through whatever the CEOs decide. But I know they're working hard, and they really don't want to see a season cut short or, you know, to cancel a season. And they understand the importance of athletics. Certainly it's not the most important thing, but it is important, you know, to our student athletes, our community, and the university.
And to sports writers too. The big flashing red lights question to me, we all spoke, gosh, feels like a year ago, but I think it was probably something like a month ago. And you were pretty confident in being optimistic that if someone is a fan of the Long Beach State women's volleyball team, the Long Beach State women's soccer team, that they would be doing some amount of games in the fall. Obviously, since we've talked, we've seen the cases going up. The environmental news has not been good. Are you still pretty confident that even if it is a stripped down schedule, there will be some kind of games that count going on this fall?
I want to believe so. And I do think that we can mitigate some risks. Certainly, we can't guarantee anything, you know, for certain. But I think being thoughtful about who we play and how we play. We know in the Big West, we can certainly all agree and map out, you know, a baseline foundation on what each institution is doing medically. You know, non-conference, yeah, I would hope, you know, school X is going to do all the right things, but I don't necessarily know what school X is doing right now. I know for the most part, all my athletic director colleagues are doing those things, but we can agree to a baseline within the Big West on how we deal with things and what we do. So in some ways that is a little bit more controllable.
So you have a little more confidence around a Big West soccer, Big West volleyball schedule than you do that they would play a full schedule.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you know, given what we know right now, the non-conference, you know, I kind of divide it into two, non-conference and conference. Non-conference, I think, is, a little bit more of a long shot. The conference, I think, you know, one, we start a little bit later. So we have, you know, into September, and there's some variation depending on the sport when the first right now date of competition for the Big West schedule is. But again, we can control those things. We can move dates of competition much more easily. The travel, certainly, obviously, there's Hawaii, but outside of Hawaii, we can drive to Davis. We can obviously bus locally. That's not an issue. So there's some more controllables within that. So I'd like to believe that we can find a way forward. Ultimately, that's not my call.
Yeah, but that sounds good. That sounds good to me. I mean, respectfully, no one's craving live streaming the women's volleyball team going to a tournament in Kansas or something. It's just like, cool, Long Beach State, Irvine, you know, in the pyramid, even if it's just streaming or it's just our highlights, whatever it is. I think the high school level is looking at the same thing. I mean, that's what JJ and I are hearing is we might get a high school football league season, but not the non-league schedule. And for us, and I would say, I think speaking for our readership as well, the gap between a full schedule and a league or conference only schedule and that league or conference only schedule and no sports, I mean, it's not even comparable, right? It's just, let's get something for the kids and something for the community, like you said, to where they're out there competing. And I'd almost at this point, I would almost like voluntarily lop off the non-league and non-conference schedule, just like you said, to give yourself more flexibility and make the plan a little bit more nimble in terms of, yeah, look, if something's shut down on a Friday, you can move the game to Sunday because they're a 2-hour drive away or whatever, right? I mean, it just makes it easier to do that stuff. And I have talked to Joy McKenzie Fierbringer, your women's volleyball coach. I know she's hoping for more of the non-league stuff as well. But she said she was surprised. She heard almost overwhelmingly from the Big West volleyball coaches that they were kind of thinking what I'm thinking, which is just like, let's just narrow it down to conference right now and try and go through with something that fits a little more easily between the fence posts.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as you know, I serve as the chair of one of the NCAA sport championship committees, and, you know, we can still have a NCAA championship because we do have automatic bids that are awarded to conferences, and certainly there's still at-large berths. But for example, our women's soccer program, the maximum number of matches for anybody in Division I is 20. The minimum that you have to play to remain within the guidelines for sports sponsorship is 11. Well, I think we've got 10 conference matches in our schedule. We can play Irvine or somebody twice. We can meet the minimum number.
Not Irvine. Maybe play Riverside twice or something.
Right, exactly. You know, we'll be creative with that schedule. But we can get creative, and certainly, you know, I'd like to hope the NCAA would do waivers, but we can still compete for that automatic berth to the postseason. And then, things go well, we win that and we're in the NCAA championship. And so there is a way forward. I know it wouldn't be ideal, and I tell our coaches, trust me, I don't like talking about this stuff, but, you know, we have to be real and practical about some things. And, you know, hopefully we don't have to go through another year like this ever, but we can only do what we can do, and we can only control what we can control. And in some ways, I would rather have a hybrid season of something than nothing. And again, I think if we're willing to be thoughtful about this, and we may have to give up some things in order to get other things, and if we have to reduce the number of competitions in order to have competition and a championship, I would rather do that. Personally,
easily,
totally agree. Absolutely. You know, we usually talk to you like this on the LB Fee Show, like I said, so we don't usually get to ask you the fun questions at the end. That's for the special guest that we have on. But now that you're our special guest, we get to give you some fun ones. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. So you're on a 5-hour plane flight and you're in the center seat, but you get to choose the two people sitting on either side of you. Who are you flying with? And why are you flying with them?
Well, I would always include my wife, Nicole, but for the premise of this question, I will defer outside of Nicole, who is a fantastic travel partner. I would say if I looked to my left, I would go with Doris Kearns Goodwin, the author.
Solid.
Who I love her books, and Team Arrivals is one of my favorites. You know, a lot of people obviously have read that book about Lincoln and his cabinet and his leadership style, and she's just fascinating to me, and I love history, so I would love to pick her brain and hear about the presidents and U.S. history, which is fascinating to me. And then if I look to my right, you know, I'm thinking of sports or maybe music. You know what? I'll go with Bob Dylan.
Oh, nice. So
I got to imagine Bob Dylan's got some great stories and probably a fascinating guy to talk to, or I'd like to think he'd be a fascinating person to talk to. So I'd go with Doris Kearns Goodwin on my left and Bob Dylan on my right.
Okay. I got one. Dodgers or Angels?
I'm a Dodger. It's so funny. I grew up in Orange
County.
God
bless you. God bless you for giving a real answer to that question, Andy.
I will be honest, and I've always been that way. Growing up in Orange County, South Orange County, you know, people, you know, think, oh, Angel. Well, I have an older brother who was an Angel fan, which meant I could not be an Angel fan. And my mom is a big sports fan. My mom is into it, and she would listen or put the Dodger game on. So I grew up listening on the radio to Vin Scully and the Dodgers. So I am, I bleed blue. I love the Angels, but I am a Dodger fan.
You're fine.
We all temporarily love the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim in Long Beach, but it is still a Dodger town, absolutely.
Andy, who is the most impressive person you've ever met?
The most impressive person I've ever met. Wow, that's a great question. I'm this is going to be a weird one because people who know me, but one person that is fascinating to me that I actually worked for, not directly, but is actually the chancellor of Santa Barbara, Henry Yang. He's been the chancellor for 25 years. I think he'll be going into his 26th year, which is statistically unbelievable in terms of a president or a chancellor. I mean, I think the average might be 10 years that a chancellor or president can remain in good standing amongst everyone politically and around it. And he's a mechanical engineer by trade. In my previous role, I was a direct fundraiser, and the chancellor never drove. He doesn't drive. And so inevitably, when he would have trips to LA, Orange County, there were about three of us across the university that he would like to ride with that would drive him. So we would drive him to whatever meetings. I mean, I went to Caltech and would drop him off. And it was always fascinating to, you know, because I live in the world of sports, and to listen to his mind, a brilliant man, talk about all kinds of stuff. I remember one time we were driving by the power plant in San Onofre down in Orange County. This is years ago. And I just kind of made a question about, you know, like, oh, nuclear power, you know, whatever. And for like half an hour, he was explaining to me how it all worked. And it's really an amazing story, you know, a man born in Taipei, Taiwan, who came to the United States, went to Purdue, you know, kind of the American dream, you know, an immigrant. A story that is very unique, and one that, you know, again, he's a very quiet person. Like, you know, he never really talks about himself, but intellectually, professionally, he's just one of those people that has been super successful in his life. And, you know, he's got a great family and his wife's awesome. So I would say one of the more unique people that I've met in a lot of ways, but also one of the more impressive people that I've ever been around.
That's a great answer. Probably one of the best answers I've gotten to that question. Okay, here's the last one. You ready? We do this sometimes with people we know pretty well, so we feel comfortable enough to ask you, what do you think is your spirit animal? Right?
What
so
is for, my spirit
for animal? Example, I am a giraffe. It's very obvious. Long leg, big ears. My name is Jeffrey. It just makes sense. Right? Mike is so obviously a red ass baboon. It just tracks, right? Andy, I think I would give you, you know, you're a runner, so that you have to factor that in, but you also thrive in the team setting. So I'm thinking like gazelle or antelope, where you're better as a group, but you can still get around pretty quickly and pretty well individually. So maybe Andy the antelope.
I like that. And I would say that's what I think is a pretty good read of me. You know, I do believe in team. I believe in togetherness. You know, I love to run, as you said. So I would say that's pretty good. You know, I was going to go with, you know, more than likely I was kind of going along the lines of running, speed, things of that nature. But, you know, the team side of me and being family and group are things that I believe in. So
nailed another one. Love it.
I think that's a great spirit animal. I'm on board with Andy the antelope.
Great stuff, man. Thank you again for taking the time. Really appreciate it. With all the news going on right now and in the future, I'm sure we'll be talking soon. So take care.
Thanks, guys. Be well to everybody out there listening.
I'm going to change my answer, Mike. You are not a red-ass baboon. This is what I'm thinking for Mike's spirit animal.
I've embraced the red-ass baboon.
No. I got it now. I got it. It's Wolverine. Okay. Ooh. First of all, you're a comic book guy, and it's a comic book character, so we've got that.
Oh, I assumed you were just talking about the comic book character.
No. Is the Harbaugh connection?
No, we've also got the fact that from a distance and without much research, people really don't understand what Wolverines are all about. They're kind of a mystery. But if you mess with them...
An enigma like Mike Gardabasio.
If you mess with them, you got the wrong one, dude. They will take you down faster than you could even imagine. Wolverine, Mike Gardabasio. I think I nailed that one. I'm going to have to think about yours, Tyler.
Tyler's like a koala bear. I'd say like a koala.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I don't know, a koala bear? super witty?
No, I had a joke that I decided to pull back. I don't know. Like, I guess that would be fine. Koalas are well-liked and adorable. So
I'll think about it. Maybe like Yogi Bear, because he's got more wit and guile, you know?
I'm also remembering.
Yeah, it's got to be who got jokes.
I'm also remembering when Tyler grew up as friends with my little brother, close friends. And I'm remembering a time when you came over to our house, I think in high school, and for some reason you were having everyone touch your hair. Your hair was very soft, and so you had taken your hat off and were offering your hair, which is probably the first time that I talked to you since you had been in preschool or something. So I was like, "Yeah, koala bear fits for me."
Actually, yeah, koala bear might be it. It might be it. So that's what we're going to be doing on the last part of this show every week is we're going to call it Speech and Debate, mostly because it was my favorite class in high school. And second, because we just like to do this. We just like to sit around, bring up a topic, and then bandy it about. And
BS. Okay, so I've got the one for this week. Last week, we were talking about the list of hardest sports. This one's sports-related again. They're not always going to be sports-related, but are you guys ready?
Yes.
If you could get one professional sport back, totally normal in terms of its schedule and everything else, or actually even just in terms of the schedule they laid out, but you would, in guaranteeing that one sport came back, lose the other two major sports, would you choose the NBA, Major League Baseball, or the NFL?
This is like marry, kill, kill?
Yes.
All right, got it.
And I'm going with the NBA because it's the best combination of sport that I really love and it being on all the time. Like, football will be great for Sundays, but for basketball, from July 31st for like 2 months, all I'm doing is watching NBA basketball.
That's right. Fair, and the speed of the game I think is important. I'm going to throw a wrench in there and just pick soccer. But
if I had to pick the three majors,
I just watched Everton win for the second week in a row on Wednesday before recording. I'm freaking feeling it, dude. Two wins on the trot. Come on, you Blues.
The three
Anyways.
Americans. Go on your
Anyways.
European podcast and talk about the EPL.
I'm gonna go pure volume and pick baseball because if I have baseball, I feel like I'm going to get more action for longer in the day. Because you can play baseball early, you can have day games. I'm going to be able to get 8 hours out of two games from baseball, right? And then you're going to have the whole league back. I feel like I won't have time to watch the highlights. So for pure volume alone, I'd pick baseball.
The only thing that gave me pause on baseball is we're both Dodgers fans. I haven't been a big Dodger fan for as long as you, but I will say that the idea of if they don't play baseball this year, Mookie Betts never having suited up as a Dodger is almost too much for me to bear, but I want to see the Lakers win this championship. So I'm going with the NBA.
Also, if you asked me which team that I root for, do I want to see win a championship most right now? It's also my favorite baseball team, the Dodgers. Yeah. So maybe that factored in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I both great points from you guys. I'm a little bit in between, but I'm going to agree with JJ and go with baseball. I mean, obviously the Lakers are in a position to win a championship, but even with that league coming back, it's just such a condensed part of the schedule where you have 8 regular season games and then the playoffs. Whereas baseball, like JJ said, you're getting a 60 game schedule. They're playing every day, pretty much all day. I know the NBA is going to be pretty much all day when it comes back. But
11
another thing too,
playoff basketball, baby, get hyped.
I am hyped. Don't worry about that. But I also think baseball set up a little bit better for the social distancing anyway. So I think it'll be maybe even a little bit safer as well, as far as, transmissions go, just because everything's a little more spaced out. And the Yankees are ready to win a championship too. So
two more of the guys on the Yankees this year.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Aaron Hicks.
And Matt Duffy. I will say though, if you're going to rank sports by the amount of spitting, baseball is definitely on the top of that list. And I don't know much about COVID-19, but I know spitting's not great.
Yeah, I mean you're just never gonna be able to
not
police that out of the game of baseball. That, I mean, that's just a non-starter. Like, guys are just going to spit, and you're just going to have to.
Well, the advantage that baseball has, and I don't want to get, I mean, I feel like a million people are talking about what's more likely to come back, so I don't want to get into that too much. But the advantage baseball has is it's outdoors, right?
That too,
which is a huge advantage. The only other thing I would say about the NBA is the fact that it's 8 regular season games in the playoffs is why that's kind of like the tiebreaker for me. Because I'll be honest with you, baseball, I know they're talking about this is a condensed season, it's really short, but there's still never going to be a year where I have enough time in my life to sit down and watch 60 Dodger games in one season. The NBA, I feel like I can watch 8 Lakers games and then the playoffs. Like, I feel like I'm going to be able to have it on all day and see everything that I really, really want to see. And I love that it's meaningful games pretty much right away after like 2 weeks. Playoffs, like, let's get going. None of us know what that's going to look like yet, obviously. But I'm excited for that.
I think there's something to be said for the crowds as well. Nothing against baseball crowds, but as a Dodger fan, I've survived my entire baseball fandom without good crowds.
You're not going to miss them at a Dodgers. Yeah,
but with football, basketball, heck, even soccer, as I mentioned before, those things are, I mean, they're literally pumping crowd sounds into the NBC production of the European football right now because it sounds so odd. I could definitely watch a baseball game without crowd noise. That wouldn't bother me at all. Oh, it does sound good. They're doing a good job of it. It's the chant from the teams at home. If somebody scores, they crank it up a little bit. Like, it makes sense. It totally makes sense. With baseball, I could survive without it. With basketball, I feel like you almost have to do it as well. Like, the squeaks and bounces are not why I turn in for baseball.
That's true. I think the ambient noise in basketball is actively worse than the ambient noise in baseball. But I think you're going to need crowd noise for all of it. I think it genuinely makes a difference, and it's going to cover up some of the weird sounds that you're not supposed to really hear.
You need crowd noise for basketball, but you need a crowd murmur for baseball.
You just need like a groundswell, something, you know what I mean? Maybe throw in a couple like peanuts, every now and again.
Well, at Dodger Stadium,
I mean, they have it in video games. They have it in the show, so they can definitely do it on TV, you know what I mean?
At Dodger Stadium, they need to turn the sound really low for the first through third innings, then crank it up for the fourth through seventh innings, and then turn it back down to the eighth and ninth inning.
Oh geez. Yeah.
Right. 100%.
Are we not trying to be realistic?
We do need live crowd noise DJs, like video game specialists and stuff. Like I'm looking forward to that. I'd pay a monthly fee for an NBA feed that's just unedited, no crowd noise. Let me hear what the guys hear. Let me hear what they're saying to each other. Let me hear what the sounds of actually being in the arena are, you know?
Well, speaking of NBC and the soccer coverage, they didn't do the fake crowd noise for the first, I think, week and a half of having it back on. And I'm talking like 7, 8, almost a dozen games where they had it on without the crowd noise. And clearly they didn't like it, or somebody complained or something, because then immediately it was like, if you want to watch it without the artificial crowd noise, please go to the website.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also wonder how manager ejections are going to go. I mean, are they really feeding off the energy of the crowd? Because if you're arguing a call and it's quiet,
you got to
be really getting turned up.
Because yeah, I feel like you're furious, bro.
Yeah, because you really hit your next level when the crowd starts getting behind you and either starts cheering with you or booing with you. So I think when you hear your yells echo throughout an empty ballpark, it might be a little bit different. We might not have the Bobby Cox blow.
I'm just looking at you like, are you really about to spit in my face right now, dude?
Right. But maybe there's people like Lou Piniella that could just get pissed off and maintain it even if they were by themselves.
Okay, let's close on this. My favorite and probably the best story about a manager getting kicked out of a baseball game. Me, Tyler, Mike's younger brother, Matt, and our friend Jen Chow all went to a Dodger game, and this is when Don Mattingly was the manager. Tyler had gone to get beer. There was a play at the plate. This is before replay. Actually, I think it was like a year before replay or 2 years before replay. Donnie Boy, baseball comes coming out of the dugout. He's screaming. He's kicking dirt. We're losing it. I'm looking for Tyler like, oh, he's missing the whole thing. He's missing the whole thing. He gets ejected. Everybody's cheering. Everybody sits back down. And as soon as it gets kind of quiet, I hear from up in the section, Tyler quoting Big Lebowski with the loudest, "Way to go, Donnie." Everybody in the section turn around to see Tyler, hands full of beer, just jovially walking down the stairs, and all the people who had or known Big Lebowski started laughing, and it was like you threw out this little piece of bait and everybody who was cool in the section turned around and was like, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that's the
Donnie to Donnie baseball, bro. It'll never be better.
I was watching it from the whole time of at the top of the section, just waiting to get my chance to walk down, and I'm glad I didn't miss it. Yeah, what a, you know, a childhood hero, Don Mattingly. I loved him as a kid, so then, you know, you got to get your money's worth, and that was pretty phenomenal.
Indeed you did. We got our money's worth on this episode, man. Jam-packed, a lot of information. What do you expect from a bunch of sports writers who have been waiting since March to be sports writers again? We are pumped to be back out there. We're going to have all the local Long Beach news from the schools and their sports teams available at the562.org and Long Beach Post. So thank you to everybody at both of those websites for helping us get you this content. For Mike and Tyler and JJ and the Toffees and Ziggy and Andy Fee, the Antelope.
Wolverine.
We love you, Long Beach, for the Wolverine, the Giraffe, and the Koala Bear. We will see you soon. Take care, everybody.